Father, we are so glad that you give us clarity in such a confusing world. You speak to us about things which matter. You show us the best way. Lord, we pray that tonight you would give us understanding as we think about your word, because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you rake, you get leaves. If you dig, you might just strike gold. That is the principle that governs my desire to dig deeper into the Bible passage that we have been considering on a Sunday. Paul states that same principle in different words in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, where he says, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything," English Standard Version. The Lord gives us understanding in everything through our thinking. So therefore, the less time we spend thinking about the gospel, the less understanding we have. The less understanding we have, the less assurance and joy that we have. So it is for our good to dig or to think hard about what is written in the Bible. I'm also deeply concerned that we are not like the man James wrote about, who looks in the mirror and instantly forgets what he looks like. That is a picture of somebody who listens to the word, but does not do what it says. James strongly urges, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. One of the benefits of our current situation, constant preaching through books, without lots of interruptions from outside speakers, not lots of series in different Bible books running simultaneously. So one of the benefits of our current situation and just looking at one book and now with digging deeper, is we have time to work in, chew over, ponder for longer what we considered on Sunday. Since we are not traveling at the speed of light, we can slow down and ask, have we believed and put into practice what we have heard? Or actually, are we deceived and kidding ourselves? So, to 2 Timothy. We're going back to what we looked at two Sundays ago. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. My title for those verses a couple of Sundays ago was Paul writes to Timothy, giving what's been given. So Timothy, it was written by Paul, who is in chains. He had been on trial. He knew he was soon to depart this life, and although not recorded in the Bible, it is widely accepted that he was executed for being a Christian, and he writes this letter. This is the final letter that we have in the Bible written by Paul. Who knows, maybe the final letter that he wrote. Maybe this was the very last thing that he did before he died and God called him home. I read a quote about David Attenborough recently. He has been involved in some TV program about the negative impact humans are having on the planet. And somebody wrote that This topic is so important to David Attenborough that he is dedicating the last years of his life to raising awareness about it. See, it's generally accepted. How you spend the last days or years of your life show what really does matter to you and what's important. Paul, approaching the end of his life, writes this letter to Timothy to encourage him. So who is Timothy? Let me read to you from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So as we see in these verses, Timothy was a fine believer. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he wrote that a church elder needed to be above reproach, respectable, having a good reputation with outsiders. Well, Timothy was all those things. We also read in those verses in Acts 16 that Timothy was willing to do something personally very costly for the sake of the gospel. Paul became Timothy's mentor and friend. And when Paul is writing the second letter to Timothy, Timothy is a church leader at Ephesus. So Paul, in this letter, is writing to his dear friend, passing on to him what he had already received, giving what's been given. When we looked at this passage, we spoke about the importance for us having a Paul, someone we could look to for spiritual comfort and encouragement. And we also spoke about the importance of seeking out a Timothy, someone that we could help disciple. And we'll come on to that in a moment. But before that, I'd like you to pause the recording and have a look at the first five verses. And as you look at these first five verses, they're just the verses I've already read. There's going to be a couple of questions that are retrieval questions. That means retrieving information from the text. And then there will be a question for you to reflect on what you've retrieved. So the first question is, I'd like you to list a retrieval question. I'd like you to list all references in these first five verses to the past. So list all references to the past. And then I'd like you to list all references to family relationships. Now, if you've done that, you'll see that Paul makes many references to the past, many references to family relationships. So after that, I'd like you, after you've retrieved that information, I'd like you, thirdly, to think about why is it that these verses are saturated with references to the past and family relationships? Why is it that Paul is referring to the past and to family relationships? So pause the video, the recording, and do that for a few moments. So let's look at those different things. So list all references to the past. Well, we see reference to Paul's forefathers or ancestors in verse 3. Paul writes how he remembers Timothy, remembers also Timothy's tears, and how he remembers Timothy's faith. So things in the past. And then references to family. Paul refers to Timothy as his dear son, or in some translations, beloved child. Paul speaks about his forefathers, again, that family connection. And then the intergenerational nature of the gospel coming to Timothy, coming first to Lois and Eunice, and then also to Timothy. So there's lots of references to family, there's lots of references to the past and things Paul is remembering. Why? Well, I think Paul is trying to reinforce to Timothy that this gospel, this message that he believes, is not some new fad. So I think there are false teachers in Ephesus, and they're bringing new teaching, new fads, which are false. And Paul is explaining that the gospel that Timothy believes is part of God's unfolding plan that was even believed by Paul's ancestors, even though it hadn't yet been fully unfolded. And that is to give Timothy confidence and assurance of the sure foundation of the message. I mean, nowadays, even within so-called evangelical circles, there are many views about many different doctrines, nothing major, but some doctrines. And I always think it's really helpful to see which ones are new or which ones were believed by the early church and the early church fathers after the apostles. We live, don't we, at a time where the prevailing culture is new is better. You know, so how often do you hear people say, I can't believe people have that view. It is the 21st century after all, like we're the pinnacle of human history. I mean, chronological snobbery is such a dangerous thing. New is not always best. So I just think it's great this that Paul is trying to reinforce in Timothy's mind that this gospel, the longevity of it, and how he can look back on many years of this teaching. Also, I think Paul is seeking to remind Timothy that the people who love him most, those who are closest to him, mum, grandma, Paul, those people who really have Timothy's best interests at heart, also believe the same gospel. Timothy is in desperate need of encouragement. And so Paul, as he turns to family and history, hopefully that gives Timothy exactly that, a source of encouragement, so he will continue believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus. Okay, so there are a couple of things that we didn't really spend much time on last Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago in the morning. Now, back to finding Paul's and Timothy's. I think I need to clarify something about this point. So one of the main applications when we looked at these verses was the importance of having discipling friendships. And I spoke about having a Paul and having a Timothy, but we do need to point out that although we need to be looking for Paul's and Timothy's, sometimes it's not as clear cut as that. So we might have people in our lives that are very much like a Paul to us, further down the road in the faith, encouraging. And then there are also people that maybe were further along the road of discipleship than, and we're looking to encourage them. But it's not always that clear cut. And we must remember that I'm sure Paul received much encouragement from Timothy in the same way that Timothy received encouragement from Paul. So this is a two-way street. The point is intentional relationships that help us to grow in our knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. Now, again, I'd like you to pause this recording. And at this moment, please write down people in your life who are Paul's and those who are Timothy's, those that you have these discipleship type relationships with. Okay, so after you have done that, I wonder how long your list is. I wonder if some people needed a second piece of paper. If you did, I suspect you are not writing down people that you have intentional discipling relationships with. I suspect that you have been cheating and you're just basically listing everybody you know. Because these types of friendships take time and effort, and realistically, you cannot have lots and lots of them. Quality reduces quantity, it just must, it has to. In reality, I suspect that the majority of us struggle to list too many people in these categories. Let me gently try to describe most of our relationships. I think most of our relationships are actually superficial. I think the majority of our friendships are chronically shallow, a million miles away from an intentional, mutually encouraging discipleship friendship like Paul had with Timothy. Let me ask you, for those people that are on your list, how many of those people do you know what they are doing in their quiet time, what book they're reading in the Bible, or what other Christian literature they're reading? How many of those people on that list do you know
how you can pray for them to help them to grow spiritually, specifically. In our digging deeper tonight, the main push, the main application, the main thing we're thinking about, if we want to obey Christ and take his call on our lives seriously, is to be pursuing these types of relationships. So how do we do that? What do these relationships look like? Let me just point out a few things. Firstly, it's worth pointing out that these relationships are costly. They are a serious investment of time, interest, and concern. This is a friendship that has a pattern of regular, consistent listening, speaking, and seeking to understand. They are relationships that mean a serious overlapping of lives, friendships that are built on shared experiences. If you're not having shared experiences with people, your friendships slowly begin to become something that belong to the archive. Paul, we see, as we read the New Testament, took, and especially that reference in Acts, Paul took Timothy along with him on the journey. They spent serious amounts of time together. Pursuing these sorts of relationships are costly, but isn't that what we would expect? Jesus did not say to us, take up your armchair and follow me. He said, take up your cross and follow me. This results in suffering. It is to suffer to follow Christ. And there is a costly nature to discipleship and looking to make disciples. Something else to point out, these friendships are Bible driven. So this is more than chit chat, a coaster, hitting a bucket of balls at the driving range and then watching a movie together. Now, it might be those things as long as it's accompanied by spiritual discussion. See, it's the Bible that must be setting the agenda. So that is considering the staggering truths of the gospel together and praying for one another together or individually. Why is it that we're so happy to talk about the football, the weather, the price of butter in Aldi compared to Lidl, and yet we are not willing to share what we've learnt in our quiet time together? Or maybe it's that we're not willing to share, we're just somehow reluctant to turn the conversation in that direction. Now, I'm not suggesting that these types of relationship means that we're always carrying around five different translations of the Bible and Wayne Grudem's systematic theology, and we get them out and we're like, you know, stuck into page 267, paragraph 3, subpoint C. I'm not saying that. But how about this? As we meet, you know, this morning I was reading through Ezekiel and I was really challenged by God's judgment of sin, and I was just so encouraged to be reminded that Jesus volunteered to take my judgment for my sin, because as I read those judgments, they're awful, and I just have been warmed by recognizing how amazing my Savior is, that he would take that in my place. How about just saying something like that? Well, now, what I'm saying is this is something that can be just flowing out of what the Lord is speaking to you on that particular day, that particular week. This isn't some onerous study that you need to prepare in advance, although the more you prepare, I'm sure the more you will get out of it. So these types of friendships, they are costly, they're Bible-driven, they are loving. Over time, as friendship grows, genuine love grows. This results in consistent prayer. Note, Paul could say that he prayed for Timothy constantly, night and day. Also within these loving relationships, when there is love, love is willing to say difficult things. This is the goal of where we are heading in these types of relationships. There is such a mutual respect and love and trust that we can be honest with each other and we can be agents, God's agents of change in the other person's life, which means we are prepared in love to help our friend see aspects of their life that are not in keeping or consistent with the gospel, and allowing them to speak the same things into our lives. It takes a real amount of love to be able to give and receive that type of rebuke and also encouragement. Right through Paul's letter, we see that Paul is challenging Timothy as well as encouraging Timothy. These sorts of friendships, these discipling relationships, they are also entrusting relationships. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul is about to die when he writes 2 Timothy, and Timothy is going to be left alone without Paul. And we need to appreciate that it is guaranteed that in our relationships, either we will be let down by our friend or we will let them down by the fact that one of us will die and the other person will be left without us or us without them. And the purpose of these, so the purpose of these relationships is not to be growing dependent on one another. No, we are to be entrusting each other to Jesus. So our relationship, however costly and sweet, are to be ultimately serving the relationship that that person has with Jesus and I have with Jesus. These relationships are to promote leaning on Christ, not leaning more and more on each other. And so we dug a bit deeper. And I'm challenged by this. I hope you're challenged by this. Do you have Paul's and Timothy's in your life? If not, pray to God and ask for a Paul and ask for a Timothy. Let me give you some practical help in this. If you do not have a Paul, so that is someone who is spiritually mature, if you do not have a Paul, then this is what I recommend that you do. Look for someone that you perceive to be Christ-like and godly and say to them, okay, go up to them and say, how can I pray for you? And if they are Christ-like and godly, they will no doubt say back to you, after giving you some prayer points, how can I pray for you? Have some things ready to say to them. Open up to them about something that you're struggling with, some fear, some challenge, some temptation, and that will get the ball rolling. Expect them in days and weeks ahead to come back to you and ask for an update on how you're getting on. If they don't come back to you asking for an update, go and give them an update, and before long, I'm sure they'll get the point that you're tagging on to them. Now, if you don't have a Timothy, well, look for a younger Christian. That could be younger in age, or it could just be younger in maturity, not being a Christian for as long as you. Write them a note. Pass them on a short, easy-to-read book that's helped you. Ask them how you can pray for them. Now, friends, I have no doubt that as we do this and aim to do this, we will all be strengthened. We will be strengthened as a church. Our church will become a much more loving, genuine, vibrant place where people are genuinely pursuing more so the Lord Jesus. Or the other option is to ignore the call of Christ and to play at Christianity and it to be intellectual and theoretical and not real, and we will be totally deceived. The choice is yours, the choice is ours. Will we accept a culture of shallow, superficial friendships, or are we just not going to tolerate that? Jesus shows us a better way. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, shows us a better way. So dependent on the Lord Jesus, let's walk in this better way for his glory and our good. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio recording. If you have any questions or would like to discuss anything further, please simply reply to this email.